Amen. Please stand for the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Please be seated. This is, I just keep thinking of, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And He can keep doing this. If He asks for my input, He can do this every Sunday. He hasn't asked, but I'm just glad we're all here. We have some faces we haven't seen for a while. That's really good. And I am really excited because we have a baby with us. Amisha's here with her little baby. What is the baby's name?
Her name is Kavya.
Kavya.
Kavya with a V.
Kavya. So our little congregation has a baby. I'm so excited.
First time out of the house.
First time out of the house, and it's a beautiful day, and we're all going to pray for Kavya. Yes. I have some blessings we can do over that child when the time comes. Anyway, let's move on. We have been talking about, we're going to talk about throughout the month, about seeking God. And I said at the beginning of the month that why that's so important is after what we've had last year, and now we have a new year, that I believe very strongly that if we all diligently seek God, then we have the ability as Christians to, at least for our own families and our family of Christian brothers and sisters, we have some ability to guide and shape what this year is going to be like. Because you cannot do it by yourself. So seeking God, we talked about seeking God through obedience. Basically, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. That's kind of straightforward. And then last week we seek God through prayer. God has established an ongoing communication. It's better than Spectrum. It's less expensive. And it's always available. The network never goes down. God put it there for a purpose. And He put it there so that we can seek Him, know Him, and become related to Him more closely every day. So seek God through obedience this year. Do what He says. Seek God through prayer. Make that part of your day-by-day life. Today we're going to talk about seeking God through Scripture. And I love Scripture. I brought a couple of visuals here. This is a pretty imposing book, is it not? Look at that. That is an original 1865 pulpit Bible. And this is not an antique that I keep on a shelf at home. You go through here, you'll find notes. Yes, I wrote in my antique Bible because I have preached out of this Bible. I can't even tell you how many times. But it's a really impressive big book, isn't it? That's the actual original cover. So at one point I decided that for preparing for sermons that I should get a study Bible. Now, I have a lot of Bibles, but a study Bible, some of you have them, they have the footnotes and all that, and because I'm slightly above senior citizen, I figure, well, what I'll do is I'll get a large print study Bible. So that made nothing but sense to me. And then I opened up the box. This was my large print study Bible. It is also a very impressive book, and as it turns out, it is very useful. It sits on a stand on my desk. And then there's this one. It's got, can you believe he wrote in this and highlighted it and underlined it and drew circles and stuff in it? It's still an impressive book. And I'm just curious, if you were to reach in your pocket or your purse, how many of you would be able to pull out this little guy? Anybody else have their little Bible with them? I've given these out before, and because this is a very impressive book. It's not this one, it's not this one, it's not this one, but it's still a very impressive book. And why? Because Scripture is the very words of God speaking to us. So if you want to find God, what better place to seek and find God than in Scripture? Now, a lot of people look at this book and they say it's very pretty, antique. I was in an antique store in Julian one time, and I asked if they had any antique Bibles, because I like to collect them. And he says, well, we have one, but you probably wouldn't be interested. And I says, well, can I see it? So he brings out this big Bible, and I kind of thumbed through the pages, and I handed it back to him. He says, that's okay, I have one. So I don't need to give you $750 for it. And I walked out. But see, a lot of people in the world think that maybe this is a nice book and it's impressive and all that kind of stuff, but they don't really take what it says to heart. Or worse, in my view, is they pick and choose what they like. How many people do you know that say, well, you know, I'm not a Christian, but you know, I follow the golden rule and love others. Or, you know, I follow what it says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I follow what it says. No, they don't. They follow the parts that appeal to them, but they don't follow the book. Why is that? You know, Jesus is considered by every major world religion to be one of the greatest moral and ethical teachers that ever lived. He is an icon in all five of the major world religions, most highly regarded by all of them. And yet, they don't get it. Well, Paul talked about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. He said, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. You see, you need to have the Holy Spirit in order to really get it. It was written thousands ago. Part of the problem is it was written thousands of years ago in the context of ancient cultures, written in language with nobody speaks anymore. It's got different literary forms. You know, this book has literature, it has poetry, it has history, it has prophecy, all in one book. You know, it's actually more of a religious library than it is a book. And if you think about it, go back and look at your Bible. Maybe you never thought about this before. There are, how many of you have 66 books on your bookshelf at home? Well, there are 66 books within the pages. So it is kind of like a religious library. So why read the Bible? There's a question for you. It is one of the best-selling books of all times. In fact, last time I read the statistics, it is the best-selling book of all time. There's probably a Bible in just about, probably 80-85% of every home in America. There's a Bible somewhere gathering dust. I'll probably need that at some point. So why read the Bible? Well, the reason we read the Bible is because that's where we see God. We see God through His Word. He's put it there for a reason. Most adults actually these days don't even read anything. It's the I don't tweet, so I don't. What was 148 characters that gets us in trouble all the time? Or we Snapchat, or we do all this other stuff. But most people don't actually read anything. Now, why should we read the Bible? It's very confusing. It's hard to read. Well, I can think of no reason at all except one. It claims to be the actual words of God speaking to us. And reading is an essential part of seeking God. Jesus left. He was ascended into heaven. What did he say? He says, I will send the Comforter, the Paraclete. I will send the Holy Spirit to teach you all things. So he sent the Holy Spirit, but he sent his words. And through his Holy Spirit, he's inspired all of the gospel writers to put down what he wanted us to know. So if the Creator God of heaven says, you really need to read this book, it might be a good idea to read it. And the thing is, this isn't new information. This isn't new information. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. The book of Isaiah is almost an entire philosophy book to begin with. And it has so much in there.